Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're in a series that we've entitled Living by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says to us, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So as a Christian, you and I live by the Spirit. And if we're going to do that, we need to follow His leading, correct? But how many of you understand it would help to know who He is, wouldn't it? Just who is He? What is He like? So this morning, what we're going to look at is the Spirit revealed. I want to give you some descriptions of who He is so that you can better understand Him, accept Him, and let Him lead you. So if you will, let's begin with the Holy Spirit is God. The Spirit is God. And, well, but I don't understand that. You're right. We don't. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But He is God. Here's what John chapter 4, verse 24 says, Jesus speaking. He says, for God is Spirit. So those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So in other words, if He's Spirit, that means you don't see Him, do you? You don't fully grasp where is He and how does He work and how does He move and what goes on and what is it like? And fortunately for us, the Bible gives us a little indication, because this word Spirit in the original language is the word pneuma, which means wind, breath, a current of air, a breeze. That's the literal definition of the word Spirit. Thus, we come in John chapter 3, verse 7, and don't be surprised when I say to you, you have to be born again. In other words, you have to accept Christ as your Savior. The wind blows wherever it wants. And just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So since you can't explain it, why do we keep trying to? Right? This is where faith comes in. This is where, okay, I don't fully understand it, I don't fully grasp it, but I choose to believe it. And so He gives us a definition, in essence. He gives us a comparison. He says the Spirit, which you can't see, is like the wind. Now, what do we, down here in Florida, we should understand wind if anybody does, right? First of all, wind is invisible. It's invisible. It's unseen. You can see it move the leaves in a tree, but you cannot see it. So wind is invisible. We've already read the Spirit's invisible as well, isn't He? You don't see Him. Don't understand. He's in another realm, because there is another realm that exists that is unseen to us. It's where we do our battles. It's in that unseen realm. So He's invisible. Wind is irregular. Now, means unpredictable. Now, in one sense, God is very predictable. God is always good. God is always faithful. God is always holy. God always loves. But in another sense, God's irregular. He's unpredictable. Because I always think God should move like this, and He tends to move like this. Or God does something one time, and we latch on to it and think, well, okay, He did it that one time like this, so He's going to do it this way again. And wouldn't you know it, He does it some way different, doesn't He? And so you can't put Him in this nice little box. You can't say, this is how it always works. You can't say, well, just say these words and it's there. You can't say, just do this and this and it'll happen. Because God doesn't take orders from us. And God works in a variety of ways that's irregular sometimes that we just don't always know. Sometimes there's a strong, heavy breeze. Sometimes there's a light breeze. We just don't know. And the moment you try to put the Spirit into your way of doing things and say, this is how it works, and if you do this and this and this, you'll get this, God's going to prove you wrong. And you just have to accept that. And so the wind blows. We don't know where it's blowing from. We don't know how intense it's going to blow. It just blows in different times, different seasons, different ways, different patterns, doesn't it? Wind is intense. Can anybody say hurricane? It's powerful. It's a force. It can move things. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He moves. He works. Now, you can resist him. You build a hurricane-proof building, it'll stand up. The wind will blow, and it's powerful enough to do whatever needs to be done. And so we understand the wind. It's intense. It's powerful. And the wind's invigorating. Is there anything worse down here than you go outside, so say in the morning, and the humidity is already 405, and the temperature is 290, and dead air? Boy, we have a term for that called muggy, don't we? Just, oh, that's horrible. But if you're out there and suddenly a little breeze picks up, and you go, oh, that feels so good. It's invigorating. It refreshes us. And so the Bible tells us God is a spirit. Spirit is unseen, but it's like the wind. It moves where it wills, when it wills, however it wills. It can move strongly. It can move softly. But you feel its effects. You can see the results of what he does, but you cannot see him. Thus, 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as a proof that we live in him and he in us. Even though you cannot see him, he is real, isn't he? Yeah. So here's the question this morning. Have you been willing to let the Spirit, the unseen, into your life? You can't explain how someone's born again. You see, a lot of people get trapped up with this because they want everything laid out for them. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to taste it. I want to touch it. I want everything in order. I want to understand it. I want it to be just explained to me just so that I can grab a hold of it. And yet the Bible very clearly tells us, look, it's complicated. And it's beyond your pay grade to understand. And you just have to accept it as truth. And if you're willing to accept the truth that you're a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you, and you invite him to come and live in your life, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives in you. I can't explain that in a way that, how does it really work, Pastor? I don't know. But I do know this. I know that once you do that, things change in your life. And things are different. And you see things different, and it works differently, but it's always beyond an explanation. That's why the Bible tells us the righteous, the people that serve God, will live by faith. Don't get to understand it all, but I choose to believe it all anyway. And so God is spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God, one and the same. They work together. They are together. They are one. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a gift. He is a gift. The Bible tells us that you are saved as a gift of God. It's not of works, because no one can boast. It is the gift that God has for you. The workings of the Spirit are a gift to you. You don't have to earn them. Well, if I'll just be a better person, maybe God can use me. God can use you just as you are. I mean, look at the people that he used in the Bible. They were messed up bad. And yet God used them as they were. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You never deserve it. God, out of his love and goodness and kindness, just gives salvation to you, gives his gifts to you, for you to use and for you to have. And you and I have to understand that it's a gift. Now, we're very hard with this because I don't want anybody giving me anything. I've earned everything I do. And you see, we're just horrible at taking something for nothing. And somebody gives us something and we feel required. Well, I got to give them something now. And why are you giving me this? What are we doing here? Well, I'd like to do this for you. Oh, no, I don't need any help. I'm okay. I'm just like that. And our stubbornness. Yes, you are. And our independence prevents us from receiving the gifts that God wants to give to us. Jesus puts it this way in Luke 11. Everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Well, that's a really great comparison, isn't it? Or if they ask you for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people, that's us, just in case you, who's the sinful people he's talking about? It's you, okay? If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, that's a great statement, how much more superior will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask. He says, look, I want to give you something. Why won't you take it? Well, I'll tell you what, God, I'd like that, but I wouldn't, could you kind of divide this in half and let me just have this part that I like and kind of not have this part that I don't get and I don't want. And, you know, God, I want some of it. I don't want all of it. You know, someone has a gift for you. They baked one of these great apple pies with the crumb top, you know, that has very few apples in it, but a lot of sauce, just so that when it's hot, ice cream melts over the top of it and you get all this crumbly, cinnamony taste, you know. You know what I'm talking about? And here I give this to you. Oh, please, I'd only just like a little piece. What's wrong with you? All right? God says, here, I've got the whole thing for you. Well, you know, I'm good. No, you're not. I have a gift for you. You need it. But I'm not going to force it on you. It's here if you want it. So that means I have to ask. That's what we just read, right? Anyone who asks, if you ask me, and you don't even have to say pretty please. If you ask me, I love you so much, I'll give you my spirit. If you just ask me. Well, he knows what I need. He'll give it to me when I need it. No, you have to ask. Ask. We have to accept it. When I ask, he's going to give it to you, and you're going to go, no, that's not what I meant, and that's not what I wanted. I don't look like this. You know, that's too much. No. You have to receive the gift, don't you? You have to ask. Well, why is God making me ask? To humble you. Because it's the start of you living a life for him where you don't depend on yourself, but you're going to have to ask him repeatedly for help, aren't you? God, I need your help, and I know your help comes by your spirit. I need that. Will you give him to me? Will you give this part to me? Yes, I receive it. I'll just take it. Thank you. I'm glad to know it's here. But there's a third thing you have to do. We have to apply it. It's like a kid at Christmas. You get a gift. Oh, thank you. I really like this. Thank you for giving it to me. You take it, and then you put it away in the closet. You never play with it. Why? God says, look, I've got a gift for you. I want to give it to you. You can't see it. You don't fully understand it all, but it's free. I've already paid for it. I've already done everything that needs to be done so that you can have it. And I want to give this to you. I'm not going to make you jump through hoops. I'm not going to tell you got to do this, 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 and this. I'm just going to say, here it is. Would you like to have it? Yes, please. Okay, here it is. No, 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 I don't want that. I want this. I want it to do this. I want it to work like this. Hold it. You don't get to tell God what to do. When somebody gives you a gift, you don't get to tell them, I want a gift, but I want you to get this, 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 and this. No, they don't take orders. He says, here it is. If you'll ask for it, if you want it, I'll give it to you. And if you'll accept it and take it and use it in your life, it will be very beneficial to you and it will help you. But how often are we too prideful to ask for help? How often is something available to us and we don't take it because we don't think we deserve it? None of us do. How often do we try to just do it on our own and think we can handle this until the moment we get into trouble and then we say, okay, God, I need your help. And he just, I've been waiting for you to ask. You needed my help a long time ago. If you'll ask me, I'll give it to you. Well, but God, how much do I owe you? Don't I have to pay for this? What do I have to do? Do I have to be a good girl and good boy for the next 3 weeks? And then if I do that right and say these right words and say this prayer in the correct way and just say this, this, and this, and do this and this, then can I have it? And God goes, look, I've already done everything. I've already purchased this. I want to give you me. I want to live in you. I want you to live in me. And if you'll just ask me, I will give this to you. Will you take it? Will you use it to help your life become better and to become a life that honors me? So when we talk about the Spirit, we're talking about a gift that you do not have to earn. You just have to accept it and ask for it and use it. So, what is it today, perhaps in your life, that you've been needing God to help you with, but you haven't been asking? Well, what if I ask wrong? Well, let God give you what he wants, and he'll correct that, won't he? What if I'm asking too much? Okay, yeah, you're right. If you ask God for something and you get it, that means someone else doesn't get it because you've taken it all. Wrong answer. You can never outgive God, and you never diminish his supply. He has plenty to give to all. You have not because you ask not. Well, I've been asking God to do this and this and this. Yeah, but you've been asking him with conditions, haven't you? You've been asking him to do this and give you this, and you want it to work like this, and you want it to be your way and not God's way. Remember, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? You never know where that wind's going to blow. You never know how it's going to operate. You just have to be willing to receive what he has for you and let him take care of things. And so God is this Spirit. God is good, and God has gifts, and the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is a guide. He's a guide. A guide is someone who shows you the way. A guide is someone who knows the path and knows how to get to where you need to be. Now, the problem is, we are like, okay, I got to say this correctly. Two people in a car, and one of them is driving, and the other one is sitting beside them, and the one sitting beside them is saying, turn here, do this, do this, and the one driving wants to go another direction. Okay, so I haven't said anything incriminating there, have I? But your mind just went there, hasn't it? And that's what we try to do with God. You and I might have the steering wheel, and if you'll let him, God can give you great directions. You see, you can't tell the future, but God already knows it. You don't know what that unseen world is like, but God resides there. He sees all that's going on there. He understands how it operates, and he can help you. But in order for you to get to where you need to go, you're going to have to receive advice. And someone's going to need to tell you, don't do that. Don't go there. Instead, do this. And you're going to have to listen. This just gets harder, doesn't it? Because I know where I'm going, I know where I want to be, and I know how to get there. No, you don't. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Wow, he already knows. Well, how can anybody know the future? I don't know. But God does. And he knows how to get you to where you need to be and where you want to be with him. But you have to listen to him. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now, this next verse is incredible. The next part of this verse. These two forces, your sinful nature, the Spirit of God, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. You're never free to carry out your good intention. You've always got an element within you that is stubborn and wants its own way and to do its own thing, and it goes contrary to what God wants. And there's this constant conflict between right and wrong, isn't there? This desire of, I want this, I want to do this, I want to have this, I want it to be my way, I want to do it like this. And then that still small voice in the back of your head that you hear, but you tend to ignore, that says, that's not the way you should be serving God. That's not what you should have said. You need to apologize. That's not how it works. You know you're better than that. Don't do this. This is going to create problems. And how many times in our lives do we ignore that voice? The Holy Spirit is there to guide you. And you can never say, as a Christian, when you make a bad decision and do something that you know is wrong, you can never say, God didn't tell me. He's always there to show you the way. Well, okay, but, you know, where's he taking me? What's he trying to do? What's he want to do? Well, he's leading me to live supernaturally. You and I have to learn to live in a realm we don't see. We live in a natural realm, what we can see, what we understand. We tend to make decisions based on that rather than in the spirit realm, in the spirit world, that would, if we'd make decisions there, we would be much better off. It helps me stay connected to God. God is spirit. I don't understand spirit, but I need to worship him in spirit, and I need someone to lead me in my relationship with God. All my battles are fought in a world I don't see, and so I need someone who can see and help me. So he's taken me in a supernatural direction and teaching me to live by faith in a world I don't see and don't fully understand. He's taking me to live righteously. He's leading me. I want you to live a holy life. I want you to live a life that is right with God. I want you to live a life that will be an example. I want you to live righteously. I want you to live victoriously. I don't want you to be defeated. I want to be encouraging to you. I want you to have confidence. I want you to know that I'm in you and I'm greater than anything you're going to face in your life. And we can overcome that together. God never loses. God is always victorious. And so when I listen to him, I win. He's leading me to live evangelistically. In other words, he wants to use my life to be an example for others so that others can see God. We read a verse a little earlier. How do others know? By the way, you love each other, don't they? So he wants me to live. He'll give me the power to live a life that honors him, that can say what needs to be said at the right moment, in the right time, in the right way, and that can live a life that lets others see the greatness of God. And he wants me to live joyfully. Yeah, well, if I serve God and do what he wants me to do, I know I can't do anything, can I? Can't do this, can't go here, can't act like this. Man, all the fun is just zapped out of life. That's the mentality too many times, isn't it? I won't have any joy if I serve God. Unfortunately, too many Christians have fed that by their sour looks and their horrible speech. God is a great, joyful God. In the midst of all struggles, you and I still get to have joy. And so here's the question for you this morning. As a Christian, are you letting the Holy Spirit guide your life? Are you listening to him? Well, I know what he's saying, but I really like this. And I really have wanted this. And this really, there's that nature fighting against what God says. And you have to make a choice. Are you letting him be in control? Are you listening to him and doing what he's telling you to do? Because he's there to guide you in life and to help you live life to the full. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit's gentle. He's gentle. Now, that means that he is one who will treat you with gentleness. Now, there is a difference between being gentle and being fragile. He's gentle. There's all kinds of pictures of this in Scripture. Matthew 3:16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God, he being John, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and setting on him. A dove, gentle. There's another place in Scripture where Jesus tells his disciples, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. You put those two in a room, who's eating dinner that night? And he says, I want you to be as wise as serpents, and I want you to be as harmless as doves. Romans, Paul writes, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You don't need to be afraid of this. He's not there to whip you and to beat you. And he's gentle. In fact, how can you tell this? Just look at the character traits that he wants to produce in your life. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Think of gentle. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Let me give you another one. Ephesians 4:30. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. In other words, by ignoring him and doing what you want rather than what he's advising you to do. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Now, let me just give you a little aside here. If these things are present in your life, the Holy Spirit is not leading you. You're going against him. If you're angry all the time, if all you words you use are harsh, whenever you start using harsh words, that's not godly. I'll go on. Instead, gentle, Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Hold up, Pastor. You mean that when I'm dealing with someone who's stubborn and obnoxious, I've got to be gentle with them? Yeah. Do you mean when I'm living with someone, married to them, and they're doing certain things that they know just drive me up a wall, I'm to be gentle with them? Yeah. Here's what's behind this gentleness. The Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything because he's gentle. He will speak. He will show. He will be there to help, but he will not beat you up. He will not bully you. He will not overpower you. He will not force you. He will simply say, you will simply hear a voice. You will have a thought. You know that thought is right. You know that thought's from God. And that thought is just there. It's whispered. It's there in a moment. And it's the thought. And usually, sometimes, it's not the thought you want to listen to. I want to give them what I think. I want to tell them and set them straight. I don't want anybody taking advantage of me. I don't want to give up. You mean you just want me to be gentle like him? Yeah, thus the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're going to have to respond that when he speaks, he's not going to shout at you. He's not going to force you, but you will at times regret, as all of us have, saying no. And when I say no to him, I have stifled him, haven't I? I have the free will at any point in time in my life to say no to God. And if we're honest, we do it far too often, don't we? God says, look, I'm going to live in you. I'm spirit. You're not going to see me. You're not going to fully understand it. But I'm going to be there with you. I have all kinds of gifts that I want to give to you to help you in life. And I will guide you through life so that you can do what is right and best and pleases God and enhances your living. But I'm not going to shout at you. I'm not going to make you feel bad and ugly. I'm going to say what needs to be said. You're going to hear my voice in your mind. You're going to hear a voice that tells you what to do. You have an option. If you'll listen to me, obey me, I will help you become more like Christ. But you can choose to ignore me and suffer the consequences. But please know, I don't give up on you. And even though you tell me no and no and no and do what you want, I'm still there to tell you what's right. Your choice. So what is the Holy Spirit whispering to you? What is the response that you need to have in being gentle and not being harsh and crude and unkind? This is who the Spirit is. This is how he is revealed to us. God is spirit. He has gifts to give. And the greatest gift he has to give is the Holy Spirit to us. Because the Holy Spirit brings salvation and it brings a new way of living for God, as only he can do. And then he wants to guide us in life. But he'll be very gentle. He'll be kind. He'll be compassionate. Are you listening? Are you letting him lead? Are you obeying? maybe you're here today and you need to accept that Spirit into your life, and you're not a Christian, you know you need to be, and you need to take that step and invite him in. But you don't just invite him in just so he's there. You invite him in because you say, God, you know what? I don't want to live for me any longer. I want to live for you. And so would you give me everything I need? And as we go through life, I'll keep asking because I'm a needy person and I need a lot. And I'll ask and I'll ask and I'll ask because you never tire of me asking. And I want you to guide my life. I want you to take me where you know I need to go so that I can have real life. God, would you help me to be like you? Be gentle, to listen, and to respond in gentleness just as you do. Would you help me? And maybe you're dealing with one of these areas in your life today. The Spirit's there. He cares. He's there for the asking. What do you need from him today? He's listening. He's also speaking. So would you just take a moment, just between you and God, just the two of you. God, here I am. Here's what I need. Would you help me in this area? Would you take care of me? Just take a moment. Father, this morning, all of this is just so much beyond our comprehension and understanding. It's just incredible what you offer to us, what you've done for us, and what you provide for us. That you're alive in us as Christians. Thank you for your presence. Help me to let you guide my life. Help me to desire what you have for me and to ask for it. All of it, not just some. And help me to listen to that gentle voice. And help me to be that gentle person, strong, powerful, gentle. Not words we put together very often, but they describe you. Let them describe us as well. Thank you for your presence in our life today. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.